You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
From Los Angeles, California, and Maria Menounos, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On. Spotlight On is a long-form interview series featuring actors and TV personalities. And now, from the world's number one TV after-show platform, this is AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On.
You guys, hi.
Hey.
Hi, everybody. My name is Keaton Markey, and I'm here with AfterBuzz TV Spotlight On, interviewing the amazing Expendable, one of the newest Expendables, Glenn Powell, who's here with me.
What's up?
Welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. This is a hell of a studio you guys got set up here.
You like it?
That was a big introduction, too. It was like the longest drum roll of all time.
I know. I was like, wait.
AfterBuzz TV.
And we also are very blessed and honored to have your parents here with us.
Yeah.
Woo. Cindy and Glenn Sr.
The two original Expendables.
Oh, seriously.
Yeah. The OGs.
Yeah, absolutely.
The OGs. Original Gangster Expendables.
Original Jake. Well, we actually go kind of way back. What has it been, 11 years since we've met each other?
God, that was like since 8th grade. Was it like 8th grade?
8th grade. Yeah, because it was the summer between right before high school for me.
That was an awkward year for all of us.
A very awkward year for all of us.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, I don't know if even if you guys know this. You know Keith was my first kiss, right?
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you bring your parents and you start spilling secrets?
She's actually kind of the Christopher Columbus of these lips, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She planted the flag originally.
Oh, so I will always have that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you've been part of a really great legacy. You know, you started a really great legacy.
Really,
I'd like to think so.
I have to say that I'm my 14-year-old self probably had more game than I do now. So I'm a little jealous of my 14-year-old self right now.
I hope I've gotten better since 14, because you remember how that ended, right?
Yeah, he punched me in the face.
No, it was an elbow. It was an accidental elbow.
But yes, I have been punched in the face. I thought I had to get stitches, or I thought I lost a tooth. Really.
Well, right out of the gate, it was at your house. I nailed it.
I'm telling the story.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell it. Right out of the gate, I was at your house, and I mean, I think it was like during Blair Witch Project or something like that we were watching. Or
I think it was Signs.
Signs. It was Signs. Okay, it was Signs. And I went for it, and right out of the gate, I mean, I was like born to kiss. You know what I mean? Like, I knew what I was doing. Really. I was like, man, I'm like, I could get used to this. And then when we went to Connecticut to Mike's house,
yeah,
that is when we were watching The Haunted Mansion. I walk out of The Haunted Mansion. There's like the railing that goes out of The Haunted Mansion. I was like so excited. I was like, oh, kiss number two about to come down. And I literally jump up on the railing, spin, and Keaton's right behind me, drilled her, dropped her. It was all over. Your face looks great, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's healed. It's taken healed. 10 years, 11 years, but it's healed. You know, and,
yeah.
And because of that, I then was like, oh my God, you know, this boy kissed me. You know, we had this whatever little showman.
He kissed me,
thing.
Then he beat me.
He beat me, whatever. Story. But yeah. I was like, he was in Spy Kids at the time, so I had to forgive him. And I remember I dragged all of my high school girlfriends to see Spy Kids. And like, no 14-year-old girl really wants to go see Spy Kids.
Is that true? Yeah.
Like, was that your first movie, Spy Kids?
Spy Kids was my first movie. And actually, ironically enough, Sylvester Stallone's in that and Antonio Banderas, two other Expendables.
And it's also the third movie of that big action
third
franchise.
Third movie, yeah.
That's very ironic.
Actually, that's my third movie.
What was your other
Dark
third
Knight
movie?
Rises, Spy Kids 3, and Expendables 3.
So, I mean, you did Spy Kids. That was your kind of first big movie role in Texas. Then, you know, it wasn't just like Spy Kids and then Expendables. You've been kind of working your butt off out here for
a while. It's a grind.
While.
Yeah. I mean, Spy Kids I got because I was like auditioning for this role. It was like E-Dog and Logos who were basically, the role said it was like, you need a goatee for this role. And I was in eighth grade. You saw me. I was like, I talked like Mickey. I was like, hey, how you guys going? I was like, I'm talking like Mickey Mouse. And it was like, I was with these two other guys who were auditioning for the role, and it was like all three of us auditioning for Robert Rodriguez, and these two other dudes are just like way up here and they both have beards. And I was like, what am I even doing here? This is the dumbest thing. Like, there's no way I'm going to get this role. I end up getting a bigger role and like, you know, in the movie.
Long-fingered boy.
Classic role. Second to Forrest Gump, I believe.
Breakout role, the long-fingered boy. So did you always want to do acting or was it just kind of something you fell into? Because I remember when we met, you always just seemed like the jock type. You played a lot of sports. You never seemed like the kind of theater nerd.
Put kids in the lockers.
Yeah, absolutely. Swirly.
No, I mean, I was telling my mom this just now, actually. Somebody just asked me, they said, like, you know, have you always wanted to be an actor? And I was like, it's kind of like I've always wanted to be an actor. So it's like just kind of, did I ever give up on it? No, I think that's kind of how it all went down. Like, I grew up playing on a playground, pretending to be, you know, shoot guns with my favorite action stars, which I actually get to do in this movie, which is really cool. But it wasn't until I did a movie called The Great Debaters with Denzel Washington, and he and his agent, who became my agent, a guy named Ed LaMotto, told me, you got to move out here. And that was like the first time I was like, all right, do I have to make the decision? Do I actually want to be an actor for a living? Like, is that something I think I can do? Or, you know, you just want to play pretend
as a homeless guy? And you were in school at the time.
Yeah.
You were at UT. You were at a fraternity. You were close to home.
Whew. I tell you, I was living the life in Austin, Texas. Yeah, it was hard. It was hard to leave. I got a great family. After freshman year of college, it seems like life could not get any better. So I left after pledship in my freshman year, which was one of the greatest years of my life, probably only replaced by this past year as being the greatest year of my life. So I had to pick up and leave, and I tell you, it's been a long road. It's been a fun road, but it's not easy. I tell you, when people move out here to become actors, you know, they're taking on a lot.
Absolutely.
It's tough.
Yeah. So what do you think of some of your favorite roles been up until this role?
Actually, my mom got to come to Bulgaria with me on Expendables 4. So this has been like definitely by far my favorite experience.
Yeah.
But they've gotten to come on almost every set I've ever been on, which has really been really cool. They got to be Settlers in Into the West, a miniseries I did in New Mexico. What else are you guys getting to be on?
An adult spy.
Oh, my mom got to be an adult spy in Spy Kids. That's right. So my mom was on set. You got to probably shut your ears for this one, Dad. We were on set. It was just Mel Gibson, my mom, and I. Actually, my mom was really working. I wasn't even working that day. So I go on set because my mom, I was like, I promised my mom I'd put her in the movie somewhere. So she gets to be like in this party scene that Mel's in. So I made sure to get the director, Patrick, to place her where she's going to be seen right next to Mel Gibson. And my mom and I are all sitting, and Mel's just telling jokes. We're all telling jokes, just having a good time. And Mel takes his shirt off, and my mom and Mel and I are talking, just like telling jokes or whatever. And my mom is just like staring at Mel Gibson's abs, and Mel like is like talking to me, and then he looks over at my mom, and mom's just like, and she's like, you know, up, and he just kind of looks at me like, ah, still got it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So Expendables, nothing has beaten Expendables.
You know,
even though you got killed by Bane in Batman,
that was an intense experience. That was one of those movies that, as a big fan, obviously not a huge role, but you know, I'm getting to. There was so much hype around that movie. Like everybody was like trying to sneak on set. There was like people hanging outside of like just in hordes trying to just get a glimpse of Bane. Like it was kind of cool. And Tom Hardy could have been nicer. Chris Nolan's the man. We had a great time. Did I ever tell you a story about actually getting my head smashed by Tom Hardy in that?
No, please.
Yeah. So you saw? Did you see the movie?
I did see the movie.
All right. So they dragged. Yeah. Wham! They just dragged me right across the stock exchange. You know, I said whatever, and then they dragged me across the stock exchange, and they slam my head down. But basically, Tom, you know, we did a little stunt rehearsal, and he's just like, he's supposed to tap the back of my head whenever he's about to slam, so I can throw down my hand and brace before I hit the desk. And so we do it a couple times. And then on the next take, Tom doesn't even brace. He just goes whap and just slams my head right into the desk. And I just like go limp. And I'm like, oh God, that really hurt. And I get back up and Chris Nolan comes up to me. He's like, dude, he goes, Glenn, that was perfect. And I was like, yeah, it's because I actually hit my head like really hard. I was like, I think I have a concussion for sure. And then Wally Fitzer, who's the DP, comes up and he's like, Glenn, dude, we didn't press record.
Oh,
and I said, he goes, and Chris goes, dude, do you mind if we do that again?
Oh,
just
no.
Like that, do you mind hitting your head again? I was like, whatever you need, man. I'm here. And he's like, we're totally messing with you, man.
Oh, yeah. I was like, Chris Nolan asked you, can you hit your head again? You say yes.
Oh, yeah. If Chris Nolan asks you to hit your head. For instance, if Sly, you know, Sylvester Stallone says, you know, hit your head on something.
You're going to do it.
Hey, dude, I'm going to roundhouse kick you in the face. Like, are you going to do it? I'm like, whatever you need, Sly. Whatever you need.
It's kind of an interesting story. You've kind of briefly told me how you actually got the role in Expendables. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, I'm going to give out a shout out. I told my buddy Yoni, Jonathan Younger. He's a buddy of mine at Millennium. And he told me, I met with him and he was like, dude, he's like, you'd be perfect for Expendables. And so I was shooting a movie called Sex Ed in Florida. And he calls me. He's like, dude, he's like, Expendables is coming around that corner. I need this audition tape in like 2 hours. And I was like, dude, I'm like filming right now, man. I was like, and so we just like rushed, put it on tape. I literally, in the wardrobe trailer, just put it on tape really quickly, sent it off. And then I found out I was like down to the like last three for it. And so Yoni, you know, calls me up and he's like, dude, like you're really in the hunt for this thing. Like you're really in the hunt. I was like, oh shoot. I was like, dude, can I get like, can you give me like Sylvester Stallone's like cell number? And he goes, no. And I was like, no, I'm not going to use Sylvester. I was like, well, what about his email? And he's like, okay, I'll give you his email. So I wrote out this whole email to Sylvester Stallone that just basically said, you know, you're going to meet a lot of these actors out here who, you know, are not the real deal. I grew up with a gun range in the basement. I've been shooting guns my whole life. Like, my uncles were fighters. Like, I've been fighting with them forever. I said, I don't know who else you're looking at for this, but they're not as good as me. Cast me and you won't look back, I promise. Like, put me in the trenches and I'll fight with you. That's what I said in this letter. And got a call a couple days later and it's like, see you in Bulgaria, bro. Yeah.
Seriously. And was it Sylvester Stallone that actually told you that you got the role?
Yeah, pretty cool, right?
What did you do when you read that
email?
They
were with me. They were with me. They were with me. They when I got the call, I literally – it's pretty cool because, like, they've been here, obviously, since I was born. Yeah. And, you know, I've been on this whole journey the whole time, and they see, you know, what kind of work goes into it. So, you know, to get a call like that, I just come out of my room, you know, take the call in the room. I'm like, oh, shoot, like, I'm freaking out. And then, just – danced, hugged, did the whole thing. It's a pretty cool moment because that's the one thing about Hollywood is you have to take the victories where you can get them because it's a tough town. It'll beat you down, but moments like that, it's hard not to be romantic about Hollywood.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's like over. Like, I mean, I know it's not overnight, but like to go from like, you know, knowing you from when we were in high school to now, I'm like driving and I'm on the phone with my parents. I'm like, oh, there's Glenn on a bench, and I'm stopped at a stoplight.
Better than the the alternative.
Better than
Glenn sleeping on a bench again. Yeah, still trying to do that acting thing. Yeah,
he's trying really hard. He maybe should not have dropped out of school.
Shoot, yeah, could have used that econ major for sure.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your character Thorne. I know you're kind of a little bit of a troublemaker in this film.
Yeah, I'm not the guy that gets along with the whole crew right off the bat. I was like I was in the Marines. I was a drone pilot, so I fight behind the lines. And you know, while all these other guys are, you know, special forces guys go out, I say, here's where we need to strike. Here's where we're getting like, you know, heat signals attack here. So I'm really just on the mic. I'm just telling these guys where to go. So I, you know, I'm a badass in my own right, but I don't have any kind of team building experience. I'm kind of the guy that, you know, I'm really way too smart for my own good. They get me out of prison at the beginning of the movie. I shut down the power grid in Seattle. So I'm on house arrest in Wyoming. And, because I'm just bored. I'm smart and I'm bored. Really. That's what it comes down to. So, you know, to join the Expendables, that's why they say, okay, you know, we're going to need to shake up the group. You got all these other guys, you know, Terry Crews, Jason Statham, you know, Randy Couture, Dolph Lundgren, all these guys who are just like actual badasses, but, you know, they got to bring a little bit of a new school element to it.
Absolutely.
So that's what I do.
So I know a lot of the Expendables, their characters are kind of, they pull in a lot of who these guys are kind of in real life. How much of your character is actually Glenn?
Well, my character, I'm definitely a smart ass in real life, but I would say that.
Really?
Yeah. I would say that talking smack to guys like Sylvester Stallone, Harrison Ford, Mel Gibson, that's more difficult. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's harder. Like, I'll talk smack to anybody, but those guys, when you've grown up watching them, you've literally imagined being on screen with him since you were out of the womb. Mm-hmm. You know, now you're like, oh, shoot. Like, and then and so he's like, oh, they're like, just talk shit to him, man. And I'm like, oh, easier said than done, bro. You know? So that's I mean, but as far as the character goes, I mean, I'm not really a tech guy.
Mm-hmm.
But just talking, quick talking. I mean, it's pretty easy. Once you get over there, it's just playing around with your buddies.
Yeah.
That's the cool part is like, there's really nobody goes, there's no Oscars on the table for this kind of thing. Like, nobody's going like, oh, if I don't play my role right, I'm not going to get a statue. You know, everybody's just there to have fun and shoot guns and, you know, kill the same Bulgarian guy 50 times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the set camaraderie was really fun.
It's literally as cool as you can imagine. Like going over there and saying, all right, people say like, oh, like what are these guys like? You know, like are their egos, whatever. And I'm like, I compared it to, I watched this movie the other day called The Last Action Hero. Mm-hmm. You ever seen that movie?
I haven't.
All right. So the whole premise of the movie is this kid gets this like magic ticket. And so he's like a big action movie fan. He gets this magic ticket. He watches movies all the time. This magic ticket that allows him to go into the movie and be the partner of his favorite action hero. So he helps his favorite action hero solve the cases. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger
mm-hmm.
in the movie.
Yeah.
And so he's like literally.
Oh, wait, I have seen that.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Yeah. And I was watching it the other day. I was like, oh my God, that's my life. Like literally I got to get this magic ticket and like go into the screen and like go fight with Arnold Schwarzenegger and all these guys. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So I'm just going to go through your fellow Expendables, and I want you to tell me like the first word that kind of comes to your mind.
Oh, that's cool.
When I say that, are you okay with this?
Yeah, of course.
Are you okay with this?
Yeah. Are we like at the therapist here?
You know. So Sylvester Stallone.
Intimidating.
Okay. Jason Statham.
Brooding.
Jet Li.
Quiet.
Dolph Lundgren.
Smart.
Randy Couture.
Jolly.
Terry Crews.
Oh my gosh, Terry. Oh, just a beam of happiness.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Wesley Snipes.
Dance Machine.
Antonio Banderas.
Sass.
Mel Gibson.
Brilliant.
You love you some Mel.
I love me some Mel.
Harrison Ford.
Cool.
Kellen Lutz,
pretty.
Ronda Rousey.
Badass.
And Victor Oritz?
Ortiz,
sorry. Victor Ortiz.
Nicest guy alive.
Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, actually, I'll say Victor Trouble.
Trouble. And last but not least, Kelsey Grammer,
hilarious.
Really? And so if they had to do the same thing for you, what do you think they'd say about you?
That's a good question. I actually don't know. shoot. I mean, every single one of those guys, you know, you have like a different experience. Because like, you know, you have a guy like Harrison Ford. You know, we got to kick it in Bulgaria. He was only there for like a week,
mm-hmm.
maybe a little over a week. But in Cannes, we got to like hang out, you know. Because like on set, we're like working. But like in Cannes, you know, we came in on tanks and we're like, whatever. That was like a time you just get to kill, you know, kick it with these guys. So you kind of have a different relationship with everybody based off of like you actually being on set and mm-hmm. then you actually, you know, working with them. You know, I mean, it's a set and then like you just like hanging out with them.
Yeah.
Like I've had a totally different relationship with like, I would say like Jason Statham after the movie as opposed to on the movie. And like Sylvester Stallone, like very intense, very serious when we're on the movie, still like, I mean, God, I mean, he's the most generous, nice, cool guy you can imagine. Brilliant, by the way. I mean, you talked to him about stuff like there was like this one heist scene where we're trying to kidnap Mel Gibson. And I was like doing some improv stuff. And he's like, oh, what if you improvised about some like art stuff? I was like, all right, yeah. So like what if I was like talking about – I was going down the hallway and I was like mentioning the different galleries that I was going through. And I was trying to lead you through the galleries. And he's like, yeah. So like go postmodern realism, whatever, you know, impressionistic over here. And he's naming all these artists off. And he's like, you know, do something like that. And I was like – I feel real dumb right now, bro. I was like, I don't know anything about this. So yeah, that's where improv gets really hard. But I mean in terms of – Sylvester Stallone has become a real mentor now
mm-hmm.
And a real friend. And it feels, you know, while you're there, he's the boss. He's the king.
Yeah.
He's the pope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's the guy. He's the creation of this whole franchise. So you get him on set. I mean, he's the ruler. So getting him you know, when he's off the clock and you're just hanging out with him, getting to talk movies, getting to be his friend, and getting great advice. You know, that's a pretty cool version of Stallone, you know?
That's awesome. So, like, you kind of just answered my next question. I mean, from being on set, getting to shoot Guns next to your favorite action heroes, to, you know, coming into Cannes Film Festival in tanks, taking helicopters to boat yacht parties, you know, having your face literally plastered all around
LA.
Yeah, on
the building. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I mean, how is that? Obviously, has that changed you at all? How has that affected you?
Yeah, no, I'm a completely different person at this point. I've started, you know, kicking animals, and I've got myself a real, real big boob blonde girlfriend now. She doesn't even speak English, but I'm really happy about it.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah,
congratulations.
No, really, yeah.
What about mom and dad? Has he
fist
changed
pounded,
at all?
Dad. No, I mean, it's the same game. It's been really, really cool, because, you know, you work hard out in Hollywood and you're trying to do the same old grind, but now we're kind of getting to be associated with these guys and to show that you can go on set with these guys and face off and match up with them. It helps. It helps. And it's been the greatest year of my life, no doubt.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And what has been the reaction of the family and friends?
I mean, I get to go back to Austin, actually, really soon. I get to go back to Austin August 12th, 13th, and 14th to go do screenings for a few Austin
nights. Are you just going to, like, show up? And can you just, like, show up in some theaters? You know how, like, people do that?
You
should just go do that.
Yeah. You know what's funny is actually, in Great Debaters, we did that. We saw Great Debaters. And I, you know, we walked out and not one person said anything. They were like, they didn't.
And you have your own movie poster now for this movie.
Yeah. And I look like myself in this
movie.
Like, I'm not all, like, weird.
Slick back hair.
Yeah. Not all Harvarded out with glasses and, you know, a suit and all that. But really, really, I get to go back to Austin and do, like, a screening for all these folks in Austin. You get to do, like, a Q&A, but I get to go back to my hometown, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
To go back and do all that. But yeah, in terms of change of lifestyle, it's the same. Now it's on to the next thing. I get to do Ride Along 2 after this, which is with Kevin Hart and Ice Cube.
Yes.
And then, but yeah, as far as life, you know, I'm...
Just same old Glenn.
Yeah, same old, yeah.
Same old Glenn.
I'm not a very complicated dude, you know. I'm not, so.
So, this past week, there's been a little controversy, actually, with Expendables 3. It kind of got leaked online.
Yeah.
How do you, I mean, I know Sylvester Stallone, he was very pissed about it. Colin Lutz said that he's kind of, you know, it'll still bring people to the movies. What I've read, people who've actually, like, you know, articles about people who've actually seen it and said, it actually makes me want to go see it in theaters.
Yeah.
Because it is a movie that is made for the theaters. What is your opinion on it?
So I'm kind of split on this deal because everybody, and the fact is piracy is a really big, big issue because if movies like these, like big event movies, that's the only way anybody's getting butts in the seats these days. It's like really hard to get people to see a movie these days.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make it an event. So Expendables 3 is an event. So if it leaks online, it takes away from the fact that it's an event. You know what I mean? So you can't really get those butts in the seats anymore. So it's like a real issue that if somebody is pirating or somebody's leaking these things online, they're going to stop making movies like this. You know, they're going to stop making Expendables. They're not going to make Expendables 4. They're not going to make Guardians of the Galaxy 2. They're not going to make whatever because it takes away from the financials. There's no financial gain, and you have to consider it a business. At the same time, Expendables, the word of mouth has been really good. So you have all these people being like, I downloaded it illegally. I have all these people like tweeting me being like, yo, like, you were great in the movie. I'm like, go see it in theaters, dude, on the 15th. You know what I mean? I'm kind of like, they're like, I'm going to go see it in theaters. It's great.
They just can't wait to see you, Glenn. They're all just so excited.
It's definitely not me. I'm the only reason, you know, not to see this movie. It's like, there's like 14 movie stars than me. So it's good company to be in, but, it cracks me up that, you know, they've already seen the movie. But at least the response has been really positive, so I think they're going to go see it in theaters as well. I just hope that, you know, Millennium and Lionsgate and Sly and everybody don't take too much of a financial, you know, punch from it.
Absolutely. My brother said he loved it, by the way. I yelled at him. I said, you better go buy a ticket.
Yeah, go buy
a
ticket.
You have to buy a ticket. He's like, why haven't you seen it? You should watch it for research purposes. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. I refuse.
Yeah.
So you have Drive Along.
Ride Along.
Gosh, Ride Along 2 coming up. And then what else? What's Expendables 4?
Expendables 4 is going to happen, looks like, next year. I think, like, same time. Actually, probably this time next year. Okay. I've talked with Sly about the premise. I've talked with...
So you don't die?
No. Spoiler alert, I don't die. Actually, I come back as a ghost.
Awesome.
It's a supernatural Expendables.
They're really going a different direction with it. I like
it. Yeah,
like, I mean, they're all getting really old, so in case, you know, anything happens.
No, actually, Sly dies. I go into the afterlife to save him.
I like it.
But I have to kill myself to be a ghost, and then I come back and I bring both of us back.
Cool.
It's kind of like Ghosts. It's kind of like a love story, but it's like a little Expendables-esque. Without the whole, like, pottery scene, that's not in there.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. No, it'd be... yeah.
So what else do you have coming up? Anything else you can talk about? Or?
No. There's something this fall that's really fun, but I can't talk about it yet.
Okay.
But and in the spring, there's something that it hasn't gotten locked, so I won't say it yet. But yeah, it should be a fun year. 2015 should be fun.
So are you hoping to, like, stay in the action kind of hero genre, or do you want to kind of branch out?
You know, Sylvester Stallone told me that, he goes, the reason he's stuck around so long is that he's synonymous with action. He said he looked everywhere for these guys. He's like, trust me. He's like, we looked everywhere for your role. There are no guys. There are no action stars your age. He said, so he's like, dude, if you want to be the guy, like, take the baton, run. The reason, he can put himself on any poster and people go, oh, that's an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvester Stallone, it's an action movie. And as far as, like, you know, I think it's a new game today. Like, I feel like you can kind of just do good movies and you'll stick around. You know, work with great directors, work with great actors, and you'll usually stick around. So that's kind of the plan. Just
sticking
do movies
around.
That I'm planning on sticking around.
Let's hope.
So I'm not gonna. So I, my face is on benches and I'm not sleeping on them.
Good. Yeah. That'll be good.
Yeah.
So, and I know you write, mm-hmm. and you direct.
I've directed a short. Yeah.
Directed
I haven't
short.
Directed a feature yet.
Do you have any of those type of projects in the works?
Yeah. I just finished a movie called West Beaumont and the Last Flood, which we haven't even started shopping yet. But I'm actually about to send it to a few of the guys. In the Expendables group to get their feedback and all that stuff on, but it's pretty fun. It's been big response so far. We got a TV show we're shopping, and that's about it. Yeah, but the writing thing is, like, you know, you learn from a guy like Sylvester Stallone. The biggest reason he's stuck around is that he wasn't waiting for anybody. He wrote Rocky, you know, created Rambo, created Expendables. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a guy that. He's created his own franchises, his meal tickets, and he's a phenomenal writer. He even wrote a movie that Jason Statham was in, Homefront.
I had no idea he wrote,
like,
any of
he
those.
Wrote, he's an unbelievable writer. So one of the coolest moments was, like, there was, like, a day on set where we were talking Westerns. I'm a big Western fan. And we were talking. He was like, oh, he's like, okay, you know, okay, I want to do a Western. And I was like, so we were, like, kind of pitching ideas. So, like, we got to literally sit for, like, the whole day, just us, like, pitching each other Western ideas. And I remember, like, I got so excited. I was like, I could, like, pitch ideas with Sylvester Stallone, you know, about just, like, you know, because he's one of the greatest writers alive. So I'm like, okay, I get to, like, pitch an idea and, like, get inside of his head a little bit and, like, figure how he's thinking. And so, like, at the lunch break, I, like, came up with this great idea. So I went and knocked on his trailer. I was like, yo, Sly. And I opened the door and he's, like, sleeping on the couch. He's like, what? And I was like, dude, I got this great idea. He's like, dude, I'm sleeping. I was like, I'm telling you, it's a good idea. And he's like, you got to go away. You got to go away right now.
That's not a dude you want to wake up, like, on the wrong side. That's not a dude you want to wake up on the wrong side.
But when he did wake up, we had a good idea. So, you don't want to wake up Sylvester Stallone.
No.
Yeah, I'm really happy he was so tired that he didn't want to, like, you know, throw a bow or a fist.
Well, Stephen, how much time do we have?
11 minutes.
Oh, great. Shoot, I just rushed through that. Boom. I have another fun game for you. Okay, so I'm going to, like, give you, like, for example, biggest flirt. Tell me which Expendable is the biggest flirt.
Antonio. Antonio, if you get Antonio, that man has got double-jointed hips. He is...
Dream of mine is to dance with that man.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
I can make that happen.
Can you?
Yeah.
Can I hold you to that?
I could 100% make that happen.
I'm holding you to that.
You go out with him, and he's one of those guys that it's like when the tequila hits his lips, the hips just start going. You know what I mean? He's just loving life. He's one of the most excitable. He says, yes, yes, I will. Yes, we're dancing tonight. Yes, we're dancing. And he's just like so. He just loves life. And he's just a passionate, fun dude. But man, yeah, get him out on the dance floor.
Biggest flirt. All right.
Biggest flirt.
You said Antonio.
Antonio was definitely the biggest flirt.
Most badass.
Most badass. Ronda Rousey. Ronda, we trained, so Victor, Ronda, and I would go to the boxing gym whenever we weren't working. So Vic and I would be like hitting the bag, hitting mitts and whatever, and we'd just be like, do mitt work, and then Ronda would be doing a lot of like judo and stuff with her trainer. Mm-hmm. But Victor and I were like, she's a girl, like, we could totally do this, right? So we got in the ring with her, and I'm telling you, Vic, who's a world championship fighter, was on his back in 2 seconds, and I was moving around a lot more because I saw Vic just get dropped. So it took me a few more seconds, but I was on my back in a few seconds. I mean, she's Randy Couture, who was possibly one of the biggest UFC MMA fighters of all time, said, if Ronda Rousey got me in a chokehold, because she's known for her holds, arm bars in particular. She got me in any kind of hold, I'd be dead in 100 seconds.
I want her to be my like personal trainer.
And you know what? She's the nicest girl in the entire world.
She seems like it.
She's gorgeous. She's nice. She's just wonderful. But she could kill you.
Yeah, she could. Yeah. But she could literally kill you. So who's the easiest to freak out?
Who's the easiest to freak out?
Freak out on set.
You know who's funny is... I would probably say that Victor is probably the easiest to freak out. Victor Ortiz, because he's never done a movie before. Mm-hmm. So he's like the just effervescent, just like nice, cool dude. But like if you tell him like, dude, like, you're not supposed to say the line right now. Like, done. He's like, what are you talking about, man? Like, what are you talking about? He gets panicked because he's never been on a set before. So he knows how to make friends, but he doesn't know how to do the acting thing quite yet. So you can totally mess with Vic. And so, he's a beast, but yeah, you can make him blush.
Aw. So is he the biggest teddy bear?
Biggest teddy bear is Sly.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. He's a softie. You know what I mean? Like he's like jacked, by the way. He could
kill
crush all four of us, with one hand. But he's a total teddy bear. Like a total nice guy. He's a sweetheart. He's really smart and loves his family and also loves all of us. You know, that, and it's pretty evident when we were over there, him going to bat for us and really fighting for us. That's pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Biggest prankster.
Ooh, prankster.
Is that you?
Ooh. That's a good question, actually. God, I'm trying to think what the biggest prank that was pulled on set was. Stuff that I can say.
I don't want to get you in trouble,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, no, I'm not... I'm probably going to plead the fifth on this one.
You're going to plead the fifth?
Yeah.
So it's probably you.
Possibly.
You're probably the biggest prankster. Who's the most clumsy?
Most clumsy. Who is the most clumsy? What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, my mom's a notorious. She's an honorary expendable, but definitely the most clumsy. Dolph is crazy tall. I don't know if he's like 6'5" or something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He's a really tall dude. And also he's been doing like karate his whole life. So he's got to like jump over all this stuff and his knees are really bad because he's like been kicking dudes in half his whole life. So he took a couple spills. Dolph.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Who has the worst mouth?
Worst mouth. Oh, I mean, he's English. Statham.
Yeah. Who's the funniest?
Funniest? Snipes.
Really?
We call him Sneaky Snipes. Sneaky Snipes. I'd get a call at midnight sometimes, and I'd be like, hello? He'd be like, yo, it's Snipes. What you getting into? And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know. Snipes, I got an early call time. He's like, I'll see you and Vic in a second. So we'd literally like roll out, and Snipes is just like, he's just one of those dudes that I'm so glad he's back because he's one of the biggest like most unused talents. He's so funny in this movie, and he's like such a funny guy, such a nice dude. And because we'd lose him in the club like immediately. And
oh
I'd be
my
like,
gosh,
oh, where's Snipes? And then he'd be like in the corner with like a hemisphere of like 24 Bulgarian girls, and he'd just be dancing, like, doing all that thing.
Yeah. So, who's the scariest?
Scariest? You know, I would probably say in terms of intimidation, I've heard this from multiple people beforehand, Harrison Ford.
Really?
Yeah. You look at Harrison Ford. He's super quiet. Super quiet. He doesn't. You hear music?
That's it's like the Oscars. You know, they start playing
music.
Yeah,
am I getting played off?
No. We'll finish it. Just Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford. You can't cut him off when he's talking about Harrison Ford. Frickin' Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. So I was literally, because I mean, I don't really get starstruck by many people, but Harrison Ford, you kind of look at Harrison Ford and you go, oh shoot, like he's an icon. Like,
yeah,
He's Harrison Ford. He's Indiana Jones, Han Solo in the flesh. So that was like, he's one of those guys that's definitely intimidating. But whenever I first got there, I went up and asked him. I said, you know, is this still cool for you? Like, you know, all this, like, you know, you get to be on a big movie with like all these big stars. And I said, you know, is it
still cool for you?
God, I can't remember. But let me just tell you, the dude, just like right now, you talk to this guy and you're like, oh, so Harrison, sorry, this one. Harrison, I want to ask you about Star Wars, the Ewoks in that part. You just get like, so like, you're like, not really, you're really sure. And I figured out like the way you get Harrison Ford, because Harrison is super quiet. The only way you can get him to talk, you talk to him about planes and helicopters.
Okay.
Which he loves.
This is great.
If you ever meet Harrison Ford, talk
planes
about
or helicopters.
Planes and helicopters.
Okay.
And then the other way to do it is get him a little riled up. Like, you have to get him, because people, he hates it when people ask him about Star Wars. He hates it when people ask him about Indiana Jones. So if you are going to ask an Indiana Jones or Star Wars question, you have to be like, yo, like, so I heard that, like, you know, in the last, like, Indiana Jones, like, that whole, like, refrigerator bit where, like, you were in the nuclear explosion and, like, the refrigerator, like, was that your idea? Like, I heard that was your idea.
Oh,
and he's like, are you kidding me? Like, there's no way that was, and he's just like, he'll get riled up. That's the only way you get him to talk. But he's as cool as they come. I mean, he's known for being cool for a reason, because he's just, like, unshakable, unflappable. I mean, he's the freaking president, you
That's
know,
awesome.
On Air Force One.
Get off my plane.
He was sitting in front of me on the way to Cannes.
Oh, my God.
And my one regret, which I probably would not have been a good idea, but he was sitting in front of me, and he gets on the plane, and he, like, gives me a nod. I almost wanted to go, get off my plane.
You shut up. If you're ever on an airplane with him again, you have to do that.
Yeah, I totally thought about it. Like I said, man, it's one of those only, like, panic moments that you only have with Harrison Ford. I would have said that to anybody else, but Harrison Ford, you go, I don't know.
Well, Glenn, we could literally talk all day, but
we
do need to stop. But where can we find you? I mean, well, first of all, everybody, make sure you catch Glenn Powell in action on August 15th in Expendables 3. Go out and see it. Don't pirate that.
In the theaters.
But where can we find you on social media? Where can we follow your adventures?
At Glenn Powell, at GlennPowell. And that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Keeping it simple with Twitter?
Keeping it simple with Twitter, yeah.
Awesome. Well, you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at KeatonM33, and thanks for watching.
Thanks.
Yeah.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.